Thanks for joining us for this edition of Forward Church Online. Today's podcast was recently recorded at one of our live worship experiences. We hope you enjoy today's message. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today. Luke chapter 5, begin with verse 1. Everybody say breakthrough. The final installment to this series, Breakthrough, and as you know, it is entitled Saved But Not Submitted. And I believe that there are many Christians who are saved, but they have areas in their lives that they're believing God for breakthroughs. They have areas that they're struggling. They're hitting that wall. They're hitting that glass ceiling. They're trying. They can see on the other side. That's what God's promised me. God, how come I can't get that? Well, I believe that a lot of it is because we have not surrendered or we're not submitted. Okay? And to God. And people wonder why. Well, how come I haven't got my breakthrough yet? Well, it's a matter of where you are. Are you in the right location? Is your heart right? Are you submitted to him so that you can do it his way? How many knows when we try to do it our way, we'll jack that thing up? Are you there yet? Luke chapter 5. Here we go. One day as Jesus was standing, we read this last week, but I really want to put this back on the table because we're going to pull some things out of this tonight that's going to be very beneficial to you and to me. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret with the people crowding around him, can you see that? Check the picture. And listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water. If you don't mind writing in your Bible, I encourage you to write, just underline that. Put out into the deep. If you're looking for your breakthrough, it's probably not going to be on the shore. It's going to be in the deep. He said, put out into the water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. Verse 7, so they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full they began to sink. Everybody say double blessing. Everybody say double breakthrough. Man, Pastor, I just need one breakthrough, and you talking about double breakthrough. I tell you what, if God's got double up there, bless God, I want it. I don't want to go to Dairy Queen and say, just give me one single scoop. No, baby, give me two. Amy's like, that's why you fat around them edges right there. Where were we at? Verse 8, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord, for I am sinful. Remember what I told you this last week? This hit me. Because he just saw what God did. And he recognized who Jesus was. And for you and I, the closer that we get to Jesus is the moment that we will recognize the wickedness, the sinfulness of our own selves. If you come to church and you leave going, well, I still got it all together, God. But it's true. The closer that we get to God, we should recognize the wickedness within ourselves. It just happens. It will happen. So he said, get away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. Verse 9, for he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, everybody say from now on. From now on, you will catch men. So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed Jesus. It was in that moment that they left everything. Everything and followed Jesus. Everybody say, out in the deep. Somebody say, where's my breakthrough? Out in the deep. I need a breakthrough in my marriage. Where are you going to find it? Out in the deep. I need a breakthrough in my finances. Where are you going to find it? Out in the deep. Well, what's that mean, Pastor? That means I got to put him first in everything. I got to put him first in my marriage. I got to put him first in my finances. I got to put him first in my decision-making process. If I can make the decision on my own, chances are pretty good I'm on the shore and I'm not out in the deep. Because when I get out there, I need some extra guidance. I need that GPS that tells me where the bottom is. Some of my fishermen know what I'm talking about. But we learned last week that the very first key, I'm going to give you three keys, the very first key to how do I get my breakthrough? Well, we already know it's got to be out in the deep. Well, how do I get out into the deep? The first one is you got to be obedient. You got to be obedient. If you're going to see your breakthrough, you've got to set out into the deep. You got to get into territory that you're not comfortable, that you're uncomfortable with. You got to get out into territory that's unrecognizable. It's an area that's new to you. Everybody say new. It's new to you. It requires obedience. I said this last week that the obedience that I demonstrate is what positions me for my miracle. When I demonstrate obedience to the Father, then he looks down and goes, he's in position for a miracle. That's why Simon Peter received the miracle, not just of one boat almost sinking, but two boats almost sinking. Why? Because he was in position. A lot of times, God is waiting on us, waiting on me to get into position before he can actually answer the prayer. Because if he drops the blessing, if he drops the breakthrough in an area that I'm not ready for it, or I've got holes in my boat, or I'm surrounded by people that I shouldn't, and they're going to thieve it from me, or rob it from me, or steal it from me. I'm talking about maybe friends that we have that we shouldn't. He can't pour down the breakthrough or the blessing until I'm in the right place. Everybody say right place. So if you're asking God, I need my breakthrough, check your surroundings. Are you in the right place? Are you surrounded by people that will rob you of that thing that God wants to give you? So yes, we need to be obedient. The second thing that we need to do to be able to set out into the deep is you have to leave the shore. Oh me. We love the shore. We understand this. It makes a lot of sense. In order to go out into the deep, I got to leave the shore. Right? But I found there's two reasons why we don't like to leave the shore. There's probably a lot of reasons. You probably know right now why I don't want to do that. I know God's asked me to, but I feel uncomfortable. Here's two reasons. The first reason is we're comfortable at the shore. We're comfortable with the shore because we can control things. We can plan things out. We're in control. A lot of control freaks in the body of Christ. Hello. Yeah. And we can control the timing of things. You know what I'm saying? We don't like to come off the shore. Anybody ever been to the beach and you're standing there and the waves come in and the waves go out and there's this gravitation that starts pulling you and the sand starts coming up underneath your feet? Babies don't like that. That's when you never put a baby on the beach for the first time and they're like, there's a gravitation that's pulling you where? Out. So next time when you go to the beach this summer, think about that being the Holy Spirit. That's what he's trying to get you to do in the spirit realm. And we're uncomfortable because, and what do? We edge back to ground that's no longer moving. And we wonder how come we're not going forward. Because we're comfortable with ground that's not moving. A lot of churches in this area, I'm just going to call it like I see it. A lot of churches in this area, they like ground that's not moving. There's a lot of churches in this nation. They like ground that's not moving because they're comfortable. They can plan it all out. They're in complete control. Bless God, until he takes control, everything's out of control. That's good preaching right there. And I know it's not popular, but that's okay. We need God. We need to step out. When the ground starts shaking, instead of running back to safety, run to safety. Get out in the deep. Where you can't touch bottom. Amen. I mean, I'm talking about we like the comfort zone of the shore and the shoreline because we just want just enough of God for what we desire. We come to church. We don't want to move. We just want just enough for my taste buds. But God wants to give you more. Why settle for a fragrance when you can have a taste? You go to somebody's house, they be cooking up something really good. You weren't invited for supper, you just dropped in and they're cooking and you're like, man, it smells really good. Why would you settle for a smell? Why would you settle for watching somebody else receive their breakthrough when you can actually have a taste of it yourself? That's why we're going through these steps tonight saying, well, how do I get mine? The several people said, this is what God is already doing in my life. Some of you are saying, well, that was simple stuff. I need God to do big time stuff. Well, number one, are you obedient? Are you in the right place? God has not created us. He did not call us and put us on this earth for comfort. No, he put us on this earth for purpose. Everybody say purpose. He put us here for purpose, not for comfort. If you're here, if you're in Chiefland, if you're sitting in this old abandoned Walmart store, you are here on purpose for a purpose. If you're sucking oxygen, you're here on purpose for a purpose. If you're riding around in your car and your car is your office and you're on Facebook and you're promoting stuff, I'm talking to Jen. Whatever you're doing, God has you doing that for a purpose. Somebody said, I know that. It's for my paycheck. That's cool, but what God also wants to know is where he has you, it's for a purpose, not just for the money and the wallet. He's got you there on purpose. We just got to find out, am I doing what God's called me to do? Am I fulfilling my purpose? We can't all be missionaries. Everybody's like, thank God. Why? Because we like our comfort. We like our AC. We like our bed. We like actually having carpet or hardwood floors instead of a mud floor. And if it rains, I gotta wade through the water in the middle of the night. That's we like comfort. It's called the shoreline. God's saying, step out into the deep. I know y'all getting nervous. Oh my God, is God calling me to Africa? No, but can you go next door? See, many of us end up forsaking our purpose and God's plan because we desire the comforts more than we do the purpose. The second reason, the first one was we like the comforts of the shoreline. The second reason we have a hard time leaving the shore, number two, is we have anchored ourselves to things on the shore. It's hard to get away from things we've anchored ourselves to. Relationships. Jobs. Jesus, I would follow you, but I'm having a hard time letting go of this relationship. I mean, you see how good she looks? I'm having a hard time, God. I know it's unhealthy, but God, I'm having a hard time, this addiction. God, I want to follow you, and I'm saved, but I don't feel like I'm set free. That's because you're not. You're in bondage. Oh, you're saved. You're going to make it to heaven, but you're going to feel like hell down here because you're struggling. Because you won't be obedient. You won't get off the shore. We've anchored ourselves to things. We all do it. We all have things we battle with. See, that's the beauty. It's not that I'm up here firing shotguns going, ha, 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 squirm, Christians. No, I'm the one squirming when I'm going, dear God, do you really want me to say that? Then when I go back and listen to the recordings, half the time I'm going, I got to stick to my notes, because if I just let the Holy Spirit flow, you'd be saying stuff that's offensive, God. Well, what would you rather them hear? What you got written down or what they need to hear? So my question tonight is this, what are you tied to? What are you tied to? Listen, I'm passionate about this. The reason I'm passionate is because I want you to be honest with yourself. What are you tied to? What has you so strapped to the shoreline that you can't see? You can't even imagine stepping out into the deep. My pocketbook is so strapped down, Pastor B. You don't. There's no way. He's just saying, I'm the way if you put me first. Man, I just don't know if my marriage is going to recover, man. He's a jerk. And sometimes I'm a... If you'd put him first, you wouldn't have any problems. Oh, let me correct that. Oh, you're going to have problems. But with him, you can walk through them. Because if you think that Pastor B and Amy got it all together, you're mistaken. But with God, because we have text messages. I'm not going to say nothing, baby, but we got, and you know, responses come through, and I'll be like, I really don't think that's what God would want us to do. And I know I don't get it back, but I know, and vice versa. If I say something that's off the wall and crazy, she'd be like, you think Jesus would want you to say that? And I'd be wanting to, all them emojis. Brrr, you know what I'm saying? Don't laugh at me. Y'all know y'all do it. Y'all probably actually send that stuff. Had to put a filter on your phone. AT&T be calling, are you sure we can print this stuff across your phone bill? Oh. It's what happens when you're out in the deep. But what I was saying was, you will go through things. But with God, you can walk through them. You don't have to trip up and oh my gosh, and I'm just, God, get me out of here. Take her out. God, I'm praying for a new spouse. Yeah, you need a breakthrough. You need a breakthrough. What are you anchored to tonight? What are you anchored to tonight? I was thinking about this. I loaded up a picture of what they call a drift anchor. Some of you may recognize this. It's a drift anchor. It's not when you think anchor, you're thinking the big metal iron piece that goes into the water and holds the boat right still, right? But this is a drift anchor. This is an anchor that you actually put on the back of your boat, and the water will actually come through this. I actually saw some redneck engineering, ghetto fabulous. They actually took 5-pound buckets and hollowed them out at the bottom so the water would shoot through it. It still works. It slows you down. So what I'm asking is, what drift anchor do you have in your life? Drift anchors are things like in our lives are like family and jobs and friends. We need those things, right? But if a storm came, all that drift anchor is doing is slowing the boat down, keeping you in an area or a location. But if a storm came in, number one, it'll probably rip that thing right off the back of your boat. Okay? It won't keep you in a stable environment. Okay? Yes, we need family. Yes, we need our jobs and we need friends. But guess what? When the storms come, those things won't sustain you. It's the cross that will sustain you. So it's we need a drift anchor, but sometimes when you get out in the deep, that's not needed in the deep. You need the anchor. You need the rock of Jesus Christ in your life that to drop in the sea. So no matter what happens, yeah, you may do a little bit of this, but you're going to stay right where God wants you to stay. So what are you anchored to? Somebody say, am I supposed to rip my family out? Look at them, drift anchor. You let me drifting. No, we need those things. But when you get out in the deep and God says, okay, I plant you here. I want you to be sustained here. The seas are rough, but I want your marriage to be secure here. And it can be if I'm anchored to the rock who is Christ Jesus. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. Is it in there? Yeah. We have this hope. I have this hope as an anchor for my soul. Y'all remember that song we sing? We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. What's his name? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Funny thing about an anchor. When the anchor is first hooked to the boat, it's the boat that's holding the anchor. But when you drop the anchor in the deep, it's the anchor that's holding the boat. When you take the anchor and you put it on the boat, it's the boat that's holding the anchor. But when you get out in the deep and it's time to drop the anchor, it's the anchor that holds the boat. See, we got too many Christians trying to walk around going, you ever seen anybody with a, can you imagine one of those, I'm not talking about one of them sissy, little bitty, look like a wad of snot. You know, them little bitty ones. You know, I'm talking about them little bankers. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, can you imagine, I know y'all are like, oh my God, he did that. Yes, I did. I'm talking about one of them big anchors. That's a lot of Christians. They walking around trying to hold on to the anchor, trying to hold the anchor and say, God, we're going to go over here, God. Oh my God, this is such a struggle. That's why Christians are struggling and marriages are struggling. Oh, I got Jesus, but has he got you? Oh, I got him. God, we're going to go over here for a while. No, he just wants you to go out in the deep, drop, and just sit and wait. What, God, what do you want me to do in this place? You positioned me here on purpose, not to be comfortable. When the storms come and the anchor is in the deep, the anchor will keep you sustained. The cross of Jesus Christ will sustain you no matter how big the waves get. I love stabilizers on a cruise ship. I make sure that the cruise ship that I go on, I make sure that they have them. You go on the older ships, they don't have stabilizers. I'll be looking for them when we pulling the port, looking for that arm to stretch out. Just make sure things don't go well. I got something. We should be doing the same thing with Jesus. I just want to make sure you're here, God, because I'm going to launch out, but I want to make sure you're going to stabilize me. See, a lot of Christians, they won't even step out, won't go out into the deep because they like the comforts too much. You got to be obedient. You've got to leave the shore. And you need, number three, here it is. You need to trust Jesus. You got to trust him. But he ain't here, B. I can't see him. It's just me riding in this car down the road. It's just me rolling up at this job. It's just me. You believe that lie of the enemy if you want to. But if you're positioning yourself, if you're putting God first, waking up in the morning saying, God, I submit my life and my home and my children and my job and everything I do, I'm submitting myself to you. And then you roll up into work knowing that you're not afraid. You're not by yourself. I'll never forget when Charlie called me and said, whatever you're going through in the ministry, this is what you need to remember. The angels, the army angels are with you. They go before you. So when you drop in at work and you punch that time clock or whatever, you're not by yourself. Don't believe it. You need to learn to trust him. And when he says step out into the deep, start doing things that's uncomfortable, things that he's asked you to do, you got to trust him. Because we'll be quick when the ground... I'll get out there a little bit. Y'all know when you go to the beach, you got that area, and then it drops down. You're like, hey, but then it comes back up. Y'all know what happens when we hit that first hey. Because there may be something down there, right? You can just make it past that. Yeah, if you can make it past that little rough spot, get out in the deep, he will sustain you. If you hear nothing else, I'm telling you tonight, whatever you're believing God for, that breakthrough, be obedient. Whatever it is, you got to be obedient. You got to launch out into the deep. You got to get off the shore. And when you get there, don't lose faith. Don't lose trust and confidence in the one who called you. He will sustain you. We need to adopt this phrase right here. Let's go back real quick as the music softly plays. Let's go back to this verse 4. I want to read this one last time and we're done. It said, when he finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will. What is it that God's asking you to do that you cannot wrap your mind around? What is that thing? We need to adopt this phrase, because you say so, I will. What are some areas that I don't know. Start opening up the scripture. That's a good place to find out what God would have for your life. We sit around, God, speak to me. Well, he wrote it out, most of it right here, but we won't open this. Bless God, we put devotionals on the Facebook church Facebook page. We you got free devotionals already out there on guest services for June, July, and August. Pick one up. I need help in areas. There are resources available. Because you say so, I will. If you desire to be obedient, make sure that you have discipline that matches up with your desire. Oh, I desire to please God. I desire to be used of God. I desire to be launched out into the deep. Then make sure that you've got some discipline guiding you and lining up to hold you to that. Well, I desire to spend more time with God, but I just can't seem to wake up 15 extra minutes. I desire to put God first in my finances. I just can't seem to make my hand write that check. I desire for God to be in my marriage, but I just can't seem to make him first and give him control over my tongue. Make sure you have discipline or disciplinary actions that help you back up your desires. So what is that one thing that God's asking you to do that you refuse because it's just too far from the shore? We're reluctant because it just doesn't make sense. Almost every time God's asked me to do something, I mean for real, from the smallest to the largest, it didn't make sense. And you're probably thinking the same thing. Things that God's asked you to do that you did, but you're like, wow, didn't make any sense. But when you did it, he came through. See, that's what you got to remember. Whatever it is that God's asking you, be obedient. Leave the shore and trust him. He'll come through for you. Well, I just don't agree with it. Well, fine. But adopt this. But because you say so, I will. Hear the voice of the Lord tonight in this house. I don't know who he's speaking to, but this is what he's saying. Will you come and follow me? I'm not talking about lost people. I'm talking about saved people. Will you do it my way? Will you be obedient? Will you leave the shore of convenience? Will you trust me? Will you say, because you say so, I will.
Thanks for tuning in to this edition of Forward Church Online. At Forward, we believe that God speaks to each one of us individually, directing our lives and giving us focus. It is our desire that you would experience Christ and pursue his purpose for your life. One of the easiest ways to draw close to God is by connecting with the local church. Get started today by visiting myforwardchurch.org to find out all the ways that you can give, serve, and grow.